Good. I'm excited to be with y'all. My name's Seth Terrell. I've been working with Campus Outreach for a few years. And tonight's topic is College is a Vapor. That's the clever title that I came up with. Here's the premise of it. There's a passage in James. Let me read it to you. James 4. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. Let me pray for us real quickly before we get started. Lord, I pray tonight that you would speak through your word and speak to us. And I pray just that you'd be with us and be near and help us, God. We're fragile people. We are sinners, desperately in need of your grace. We want to be faithful. And so help us to be faithful in all of our life and use tonight to push us forward. And pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So here's what this verse is saying. Your life is like a vapor. And if you can picture yourself outside in the cold and you breathe and you can see your breath, it comes up in front of your eyes just for a second and then it's gone. And what this teaching is saying your life is like that. In the grand scheme of eternity, your life is like a vapor. It's short. It's a limited amount of time. And now listen, that does not mean it's insignificant. It does not mean it doesn't have great value. It does not mean that God does not care greatly about your vapor. But what he's saying you need to realize that you got a limited amount of time on this earth. And it's really not nearly as long as you think it is. If you don't believe me, the reason I said college is a vapor, ask a senior in the room that's about to graduate. And I will tell you, these last 4 years went like this. Seniors? Any seniors in the room? No? No seniors? Like this, right? Give me a nod. This is interactive here. You can say amen, whatever. Sorry, you're good. And so it just goes so fast. And so my question for you tonight is why are you here? Why are you in college? In your mind, when you think about going to college, what's the purpose behind it? What is the driving force? And do you think about college? When you think about your 4 years here, how are you thinking about it? Are you thinking about it as an investment in your life and in God and his kingdom? Or is this an investment in you? Are these 4 years that you're coming here, is this the time? I've heard it before, but this is my time. And listen, I know you're not in high school anymore, right? Amen to that. And you're not worried about proms and silly things like that. There's other silly things you're going to worry about, but your parents aren't around anymore. You're free. This is the time about you. And a lot of people come into college thinking, finally, I get to spread my wings. Finally, life gets to be about me. And I'll just say to you, that's not a very biblical way to view your life, or in a shorter version, a way of view your college. I want you to listen to just a few verses that talk about time and how we use our time in the Bible. This is Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time, because the days of evil. Do you hear that? The command here is make the best use of your time. Psalm 90, 12 says, so teach us, God, to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Colossians 4, 5. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of your time. We are called as believers, if you're in Christ, you've surrendered to Jesus, we are called to make the best use of our time. So what I want to talk to you about tonight is about how do you think about your time? How do you think about your time in school? You have a limited time on this earth. You have a limited time in college. And right now, in a sense, this is like our new year. And what I mean by that is most everybody makes their New Year's resolutions January 1st. If you're in college, the beginning of the year is September. It's when school starts, right? January is a midway point where you refocus and say, all right, I'm not failing any more classes. But this is where we start. And right now, freshmen and sophomores in the room, this is an interesting thing. I guess everybody, but James Dobson, if you know who he is, Focus on the Family guy. I read one time where he said the four most important developmental years in a person's life are their first two, so 0 and 1, up to age 2, and then their first 2 years outside their family. The first 2 years when they're not in the house anymore. What he said, the first 2 years of college. This is a big transition in your life where you were developing a lot of convictions. You're thinking about your life. You're making decisions that are going to impact your future. You're making decisions about your first major you're going to have that you're going to change in 2 years, that you are making all these major decisions. Who you're going to marry. Most of you will meet who you're going to marry. Some of you won't. I hate to tell you, but some of you won't get married here. That's a sad reality. If you want me to tell you who you are, I can come to you afterwards. I've already picked you out. I'm kidding. But right now, your life is about, if it's not already happening, your life's being pulled in 100 different directions. You've got class, you've got study, you've got study groups, you've got sorority stuff starting, fraternity stuff is starting, all the social things are going, you've got clubs, you've got homework, you've got more homework. You have all these things that are pleading with you for your time. In the spring, you'll have to throw all of your time, all of your effort, all of your sweat and tears at the altar of stepsing. That's coming. And if you don't know what stepsing is, enjoy your ignorance right now, because it's coming, and it rules this campus like a god for about 3 weeks. And it's, I don't know, it's a sociological study that ought to be done, but I'm intrigued by it. But you've got all these things pulling for your time, and all types of pressures here. And so this passage we just looked at, I'm going to pull out three things. And here's the kind of main question that I'm trying to answer for you tonight. How do you think about your next 4 years or 3 years or 2 years or 1 year or six? I don't know where you are. Pharmacy people who fail a lot of classes, you'll be here a little longer. But how are you thinking about that time? How are you going to approach this time? Is it a me-centered? Is this about me? Or is it about King Jesus? Is it about him? And so here's this passage. If you can pull it back up for me, it'd be great. Right there. We'll start. I'm going to look at three short passages here in this thing. The first one, it says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal." Let me translate that for you. He's saying, don't invest your lives in the things that aren't going to last. Don't give yourself to the things that are going to be destroyed. Don't lay up for yourself treasures. Don't lay up your stuff treasures that you can't take with you, in a sense. Don't give yourself to these things. Now, listen, it's not saying these things are bad. Don't hear that. Having money is not bad. And I need y'all to hear me say that right now, and I'll say it at the end. Having money is a good thing. Getting a good job is a good thing. Making A's in school, all good things, are just not ultimate things. All right? Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Live for the things that last. Live for the things that are eternal. God, his glory, his people, his word. Where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. This is the key verse. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So three things I want to tell you when you're thinking about your time. The first big question is, what do you prize? What is your greatest prize? Is it you? Is it your future? What is it that has your heart? What is it that rules you? Is it people's approval? Is it the approval of your parents? Is it this dream of having the perfect marriage and the perfect life one day, the perfect family? What is it that you treasure so much? Because look at what he says in verse 24, if it's up here. Verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Jesus talks about money a lot in his teachings, and here's why he talks about money a lot. Money is one of the things that can become a real idol in your life. It has a lot of power because money can promise you so many things that Jesus promises you. Money can promise you power. You're supposed to find that in Christ. Money can promise you power. Did I say power already? Money can promise you approval. Money can promise you comfort and leisure. And Jesus is saying, I'm where you should find comfort. I'm where you should find power. I'm where you should be. You find everything in me. Money offers those things. He says, I'm where you should find real acceptance. I'm the God of the universe that says you're good. You should find your acceptance in me. And what he's saying is, we can only have one master. And when you have one master, your life will revolve around that master. If your master is your future, your life in college will revolve around your future. Everything will be about your future. Everything will be about your resume. Everything will be about what is going to set me up best to have the best family, to have the best 401k, to have whatever. And it won't change. It won't change when you get out. If your future is your God, it will rule everything in you. If being in a relationship is your God, it will rule your life. Everything will fall underneath it. Everything will serve it. The way you dress, the way you think about your life, the reason you go places, the reason you do things, the reason you're at Sanford, the reason you don't go here, don't go there, it will have that kind of rule over you. The big question when you ask yourself, you're coming into college, a lot of you are freshmen, you're coming into college, my question to you is, what's your prize? What's your greatest treasure? And what Jesus is trying to teach us here. See, this is the Sermon on the Mount, if you're not familiar with it. Three chapters, longest sermon we have in recorded by Jesus. And right here in this section, and what he's teaching in the Sermon on the Mount is like, this is what it means. He's talking about, he's painting a picture of what it looks like to be a person who lives in the kingdom, who lives in the kingdom of God. This is about kingdom people, about kingdom character. And here's what he's saying. Those who live in the kingdom, those who are in the kingdom of God, they treasure me above all things. And don't treasure that. Money's not bad. These things aren't bad, but they don't rule. They're not ultimate. I can let them go. I can say no to, I can, if Jesus is my master, then everything else is held open-handedly. Everything else. Because he's the king, he's the ruler. All right. So as your prize. Once you kind of see, hey, what is my prize? It's really important. Hopefully it's Jesus. Hopefully you can say, Jesus is my prize. But then the next thing you need to really know about yourself is, what are the pressures? What are the things you're tempted to? What are the things that really tend to that could be your master if you're not careful? If you look at it in verse, I think it's 25, if you can pull that up for you, 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not be, listen to this verse. This is almost ludicrous. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. Anybody obey that one very well? Don't be anxious about your life. And what he's saying here is, he's saying, Don't let the pressures of the world, don't let the pressures of your life, don't let these things rule you. Don't let them tempt you. And here, what's the reason he gives? He says, because I'm your God. You don't have to worry about whether or not people like you when you walk in the calf. You don't have to worry about whether or not this sorority accepts you or not. You don't have to worry about whether or not you win this game. You don't have to worry about these things. They don't have to rule you. And his reasoning is, because I'm the king. And if the God of the universe takes care of little birds, little silly little birds, and little plants, if he's going to take care of those things, how much more do you think he's going to take care of his people? That's what this whole passage is teaching right here. Trust in me. One of my favorite verses, I almost say it every time I speak. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us, how will he not with him graciously give us all things? And here's the premise. If the God of the universe would let his son die for me, don't I think I can trust, if he'll take care of my biggest problem, which is my sin, don't I think I can trust him with everything else? Can I trust him with my future? Can I trust him with my marriage? Can I trust him with my work, my studies? Can I trust him with those things? And the answer to that question is yes. It's a resounding yes. Know your prize is Jesus. Know the pressures. Know where you're tempted. And then here, Jesus tells us how to set our priorities. And right at the end, Matthew 6:33, this is how he says it. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Pretty simple. Here's the whole premise. If you'll seek me with all your heart, if you'll make me your aim, if you'll make me and my kingdom, if you'll make that your aim, these things will be taken care of. Your future, your job, these things will be taken care of. Make me your priority in life. Make everything else fall underneath me. Let me be the Lord of your life. Listen, everybody in here has something that they are prone to cling to and not let Jesus be Lord over. And what he's saying here is, seek me, trust me, and I promise you I'll take care of these things. Maybe not the way you think I will, maybe not the way you hope I will, but I promise you I'll take care of you. And so if you believe that, then you say, okay, what does this look like then? If this is the principle, and listen, I'm not giving you like, here's a schedule, here's how to manage your time. I'm giving you one big perspective. Think about your time according to this verse. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and everything else will take care of itself. Well, Seth, do you mean all I need to do is sit in my room and read my Bible and pray and not worry about class and not worry about anything? No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying let class, let sororities, let fraternities, let football, let all these things fall under the rule of Jesus. Submit to them so that you live for them. These things are no longer about them. School is no longer about you. School is about God. It's about his glory. School is no longer, your studies are no longer about him. It's about you. It's about proclaiming the goodness of God. I do not mean that when I say priorities, I do not mean that when I talk about time, that if you're going to seek Jesus, that means the majority of your time has to be reading your Bible or doing spiritual things. That's not it. This does not translate to if you're going to seek Jesus, it means all of your time is given to these things and to spiritual things and not to the world. That's very bad theology, very wrong thinking. What it is saying is you live in all of these things according to the will of God, according to his living for his glory. So how do you do that? So here's three areas. I'm going to give you three areas to think through for your own life. Three areas to ask yourself the question, how do I seek God first, his kingdom and his righteousness in these three areas? First area is your study life. You need to think proactively. What does it mean to live to manage my time well in a way that honors God when it comes to my studies and my school? You're here, and your primary role is not to be a student here. Your primary role is to be a Christian who goes to school, okay, for the purpose of God's glory. So you're a Christian first, you're a student second. People say that all the time. My primary role here is to be a student. No, it's not. Don't believe that. Your primary role is to proclaim the goodness of Jesus as a follower of Christ. Mary Beth said it beautifully earlier. I'm not a sorority first. I'm not a student first. I'm a follower of Christ first. That's truth. I almost just want to just amen her and not come up here. That was right on. And so you ask yourself, what does it mean to study to the glory of God and to live for his glory? Now listen, there's people make two errors when it comes to thinking about school and living for God's glory. The first area is that in order for me to live for God's glory in school, it means I got to work harder than anybody else, and I got to make straight A's, and I got to give 40 hours a week to all. It's like this: to be excellent and to glorify God means to deny everything else in life and just be a student. And then some people will say, "Well, class doesn't even matter. The only thing that matters is Jesus, and I'm just going to go pray, and I'm going to share my faith, and God will take care of my grades." Like, yeah, he will. He'll fail you, right? You got to be faithful in all of your areas, and they all fall under Christ. And so the first one is your study life. What does it mean? And you got to think, what does it mean to be faithful as a student? And you need to spend a lot of your time. The majority of your time is going to be spent doing your studies and being a student. And that is okay. You need to do it well. But it should not be, it's not the amount of time, it's using your time rightly. Okay? You ought to spend personal time with the Lord. But that's not going to be 20 hours a week, and God doesn't intend for it to be. But if you're not spending time with the Lord, then you don't have your priorities straight. If you're not focusing on your spiritual life, your priority. So your study is important. Your second life is your social life. You ought to think, how can I live to God's glory and manage my time and live with all these people around me in my wherever I am in my group to the glory of God? This is a big chunk of your time. Listen, this is a fun time. Have a blast. I love College is not the best time of your life. People will say that. It's not. It's not the best time of your life. But it's one of the most fun times of your life. Enjoy it. Have a blast. Be with your friends. But let that time be submitted to the Lord. Don't let your social life be what rules you. Okay? And then the last area you need to ask this question is your spiritual life. And here's what I would say. Your spiritual life is the priority. Your walk with God, walking with him is the priority. Now, it might not play out that you give 100 hours to it, but it's the most important. I got no problem saying that. I got no problem saying that your walk with Jesus is more important than your studies. Right? I got no problem saying that. The Bible makes that pretty clear. Your studies are important, though. So don't walk out here saying, Seth said our studies aren't important. That's not good. I was about to say something else that couldn't be recorded. So your spiritual life. Think about it like this. I love my kids. They're a high priority for me, but I don't spend the majority of my week with my kids. And I would say my kids, outside of Jesus and my wife, my kids are my third biggest priority in life. But I don't spend 50 hours a week with my kids. I spend 50 hours a week doing my job. Does that mean my job is more important than my kids? No. But to be faithful in my job, I have certain times I spend at certain places. And it's more about being faithful to do those things than it is about the quantity. Does that make sense? So, it's your spiritual life. Here's some questions you need to ask your spiritual life. All right. For me to be spiritually healthy, what do I need in life? What do you need in life? Well, you need good personal worship. You got to make that a priority in your life. You need good corporate worship. The Bible intends for us to worship together, so you ought to make that a priority. You ought to figure out a way to worship with God's people. At church, here, this ought to be some kind of priority for you. Does this mean that if you study one night and don't come to campus outreach, you're in sin? No, you're stupid if you think that. Okay, what I'm saying is that it just ought to be a priority. You ought to be a priority. All right. Third thing, I need good, intimate Christian relationships. What does that mean? Well, it's like you need people involved in your life. You need time where you're talking to other people about your spiritual life. You ought to find that. And then the fourth thing, you need to be involved in building the kingdom of God. You're not here just to be a student. You're here to build God's kingdom as a student. Okay? And so find ways to be involved in building God's kingdom here at Sanford. That ought to be a priority for you. Are you going to spend 50 hours a week sharing your faith? Probably not. If you do, come talk to me. I got a job for you. All right? But that's probably not what you should be doing, but you ought to be doing some of it. Right? So that's what I would say to you. Ask yourself those questions. What is your prize? What are your pressures? And what are your priorities? And if you'll ask yourself that question, what does it look like to seek God first in these areas? I think that'll be a super helpful question to ask. And here's the last thing I'll say to you. And here's one thing I'll say. In your next 3 years, if you do not learn this lesson, 1 Corinthians 6 says that we have been bought with a price. Our life is not our own. We have been bought with a price. Our life is not our own. I need to quote this a lot better. Anybody else can quote it? 1 Corinthians 6:19. Your life is not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Sorry. Here's a lesson you got to learn. Your life's not your own. If you come to Sanford and you get a pharmacy degree or whatever and you go make millions and you learn everything there is to know about pharmacy and about social life and everything else, but you miss this, that your life's not your own, you've been bought with a price, you've wasted your college. If you get it, if you get that your life is not your own and Jesus loves you and loves you more than you love yourself and you trust him and follow him, these 4 years will be maximized. So here's what I'd say. Think about this proactively and practically. Figure out schedules. Figure out ways to make your life work. Figure out where you need to make sacrifices. So I got two questions for you to think through. And we're taking, 5 minutes? We're going to take 5 minutes around your tables and groups. I want you to ask yourself these two questions, and I'll pray for us, and I'll shut up. Lord, we love you, and we pray that our lives would be ordered around you, that we would love you, live for you, honor you, that in studies, in school, in my family, with my kids, that we would be seeking you first, your kingdom and your righteousness. Help us figure out how to do that as students, as a father. Help me figure out how to do that better. Help us figure out how to make your kingdom and you the chief priority in our life. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.